Tonight's Big Brother 20 eviction recap is sponsored by our friends over at Udemy. Udemy is the largest and most accessible online learning marketplace with the most courses, teachers, and opportunities for students everywhere around the globe. Udemy has over 65,000 courses from coding to comic book art available anywhere on their website and on their app. They've got a great offer going on right now for our listeners. You can get 90% off of classes when you go to UDE.my/Rob. That's UDE.my/Rob. I think that this is a fantastic site. I have used Udemy before in the past, that I am a small business owner, and there's a lot of times when I need to learn a particular piece of software, and they've got a ton of great courses available that are very reasonably priced, where you can go and learn something very quick that you would have to hire a freelancer to do. Whatever skill you're interested in, they've got something for you. Whether you're at home, at the desk, on the computer, or using the app on your phone, Udemy will give you access to whatever new knowledge wherever you are. You need to check out Udemy. They've helped students all over the world improve their skills, their careers, and their lives. They've helped me set up this exclusive offer as well. Go to UDE.my/Rob right now to get 90% off when you sign up for classes. You won't find a better price. So sign up for classes now with this link, UDE.my/Rob. Access to life-changing classes for 90% off. Make sure you download the app as well on your phone so you can stream your studies wherever you are. That's UDE.my/Rob. That's UDE.my/Rob. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who has a lot of important stuff to say. But first, I just want to tell you about my app. Rob Has a Podcast, available in the Apple Podcast Store and for Android devices as well. Rob Has a Podcast, the app. I am Rob's sister, Nino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We've got so much to talk about, that the revolving door of Big Brother, Fessy, leaves, but Scotty is back to talk about it all here with me tonight. We've got a great panel, of course, with us first from the live feed correspondents. Always a pleasure to have back with us, Melissa Danny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. What an exciting episode. There were highs, there were lows, there was me being really excited and me being potentially really not excited and then excited again. So it was a really, really, really fun episode to watch. I made a lot of noises. I'm sure my roommate is really scared. There was like clapping and cheering coming from my room. And then, so it was a very fun episode to watch.
All of the Big Brother 20 emotions were there tonight, as we saw it all, the lows, the highs, the lows again. And here with us to talk about it, the host of the RHAP B&B with Liana Boris. Please welcome Mr. Mike Bloom. Mike, how are you?
I don't know. I mean, that's hard. I don't know.
Mike, it's only an hour show. We really need you to get to the answers here.
You have to say, don't ask me that, Rob.
Don't ask me that. Okay. We've got a lot to talk about here tonight. Of course, we're going to take your questions, hashtag RHAP, as we process everything in terms of Scotty returning to the house. Who knows? We may even have a new HOH at the end of this podcast tonight. Special Battle Back edition of Summer of Stein coming up on Friday. We did not expect to have in the TV show to have the battle back said and done by the time we're recording. So this is good. We have some closure already on Scotty returning to the house. So that makes our lives easier in terms of Summer of Stein coming up tomorrow. So get your feedback questions in. The second Summer of Stein of the week. So what a great week it is. What a great time in all of our lives for Big Brother 20. All right. So a lot to get to. Of course, Mike Bloom all season long has been interviewing the house guests on their way out for Parade.com among the many hats that he wears. Mike, what is your reaction to Scotty coming back?
Holla frickin' Luia. I just want to say that just because there was definitely a moment when we were veering towards worst case scenario. And look, I don't want to demean Fest too much on his way out the door. But I mean,
well, when we saw that interview him.
Exactly. I don't want to salt that earth before I promptly try to plant the seeds there, much like JC planted seeds in Fessy's head of to get rid of his ally, which even Fessy admits, at least after the fact, was pretty stupid. I'm sure I'll talk to him about that. But I think that, you know, given the structure of the competition, I think we were all, even Taryn himself on Twitter was saying, like, look, when there's one guy who can basically lean over the railing and put his hands into the pneumatic tube, basically, he's bound to come back. And so, like Melissa said, it was a roller coaster of emotions. I felt like I was one of those balls swirling at the circus where everything is in suspended motion. I don't know what it is with this week in Big Brother, Rob, where like everything is in slow motion or frozen in time. We're just existing in some sort of weird time flux in the Big Brother house right now.
Melissa, I really thought that big dumb puppet Fessy was going to go right over the railing.
Yeah, it looked like it. He was leaning very far over.
He would have flipped. He would have literally
Who
flipped.
Who flipped? Who flipped? Who's me? Oh my God.
Yeah, I was when I saw that was the competition, I was like, okay, they clearly want Fessy back in the house. That's like, you know, the end of that. I know, that's the thing, is why?
Well, I mean, look at the first half of the episode when it was all Faily, which I guess is a thing. The tough thing about having two people in the house who have very similar names is like, I don't know, I feel like if you look at Swaley and Faily side by side, you think like, okay, is somebody two-timing here? Like, did somebody get with Swaggy C, then Swaggy C left, now they're with Fessel? If you just look at that at first glance. But yeah, I feel like I was a little surprised how like even Julie was really harping in like the showmance is over. The greatest romance in Big Brother history is finally reached.
I mean, this is definitely not the greatest romance in Big Brother history. And I'm so glad that we're not going to have to watch that anymore. And like the long drawn out goodbye message tears from Haley. And it was just like,
That was a little dramatic with the tissue. You know, that's like the.
Yeah.
The code, that's like TV production code for, she's not really crying, but she wants to at least like give the illusion that she's crying.
Listen, of all the people that she could dab to, in guilty, I feel like Fessy would be the one to legitimately accept it as realistic though. Like, I'm pretty sure Fessy was one of those people who watched Whodunit at the time and was like, oh my God, did they die?
They're killing people.
I'm sure a letter.
They wanted a really intense reaction from Fessy for that because they were like showing his face and his face was just like frowning, just staring straight forward as Haley's like crying and like being all emotional. You'd think that, you know, Fessy would be like, wow, that Haley, or say something. And instead he's just staring intently at the screen like he's going to murder her or something.
And Julie was shipping them hard. This was Julie's reaction to Faily.
Yeah, I think she wants to date you afterwards.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Well, she wants to date you.
Everyone's like, don't give him any ideas. To be fair, though, Fessy in this episode was, I really enjoyed him. I didn't like the beginning, obviously, with the Faily stuff. But, you know, he gave that speech. Everyone's saying, too little, too late. But you know what? At least he did something.
Yeah.
Just like thank God and thank his family and say how much they love everyone who's about to vote them out. And, you know, Fessy comes back in for the battle back and is saying how stupid he is and apologizes to Scotty. I was glad that he was willing to accept and he realized how wrong he had been.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to process with this. So let's just take this in chunks. And I guess let's go back to where Fessy was setting up to Haley, like, I got you. I'm going to give this speech. You're going to be good for so long. And Haley seemed like she's kind of like, I think I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. He gives this speech. It was a lot to process. I'd like to play it and then let's just talk through it. Of course, the speech began with,
check out Fessy Fitness on the App Store. Available. Okay.
I think Liana is still the only person on it. Let me see if I have the goodbye speech. Oh, you know what? I think it was just too long. I think that the App Store distracted me. There was too much going on. But Mike, he called out Angela. That was his big move. He says he knew that she's a big phony because she says she wears a fake engagement ring to the grocery store. Boy, there's a lot of reality stars wearing fake rings in 2018.
And didn't Haley also talk about getting your ring wrapped or something when she was doing her own goodbye speech as well? So a lot of ring talk. Again, Julie must have been, I don't know, squeeing in delight when she was off mic at the idea of them talking about rings. But yeah, I mean, Fessy was also sort of talking about like Angela's daily routine of getting in her Range Rover, going to the grocery store with an engagement ring. I mean, Melissa, I guess you can sort of fill in the blanks here. I don't remember this being a story on the live feeds. Why does she wear engagement rings to the grocery store?
I think it's just, it's one of those things where girls who they don't want to get hit on, they wear a ring so that they don't have to worry about it, which like is a thing that people do. And I don't think that's like a weird.
Why
like,
does that bother Fessy?
Thing.
Why is that
right,
coming up
that's
now?
That's the thing. That's the thing is this has nothing to do with the game. And
I
so
wear
I like
a fake engagement ring. So everyone is fooled. And then I give it to the guy. I say, here, take my engagement ring.
To be fair, Angela might have the jury management of that person you're alluding to.
I worked with Angela on all of this.
I like the second half of his speech where he, you know, says, this is what Angela said to me about how she can control Brett or whatever. Obviously, the Tyler thing's not going to stick. But, you know, that might be something that Brett thinks about if it comes down to who am I going to vote out, Casey or Angela or something like that. I don't think that any of those things are going to make them turn on Angela. But I think that it could be something that Brett thinks about when it comes down to a vote where he has to vote someone out of his alliance out. But, you know, the beginning part with the Range Rover and stuff, I feel like that was just, like, mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't know what he's going for. We did see tonight some of that hammock conversation between Brett and JC with some diary room from Brett talking about, I realize that I am at the bottom of level 6. And that is the first time we have heard him talk about that in the diary room. Does that make you more bullish on the prospects for Brett here, Mike?
Well, I mean, I think it's one thing to realize your position. It's another one to act on it. And I mean, he's won a veto, and with fewer people in the competition, the chances are probably greater that he's going to win something. But it might end up being, to quote the greatest speech in Big Brother history, a day late and a dollar short when it comes down to, you know.
Oh, my God.
Especially him choosing his final two partner in Tyler. Which, you know, I think is just sort of the cool thing to do nowadays. Everybody's into Tyler. He's the new thing. But you have to wonder, you know, if that's sort of a viable position. I know that he's sort of trying to make that sub-alliance within the sub-alliance, but I think a lot of people out there are hoping that he's reaching beyond the alliance, which is why he talks to JC. And I think his best path might be wrangling together those that are outside level 4 to turn against it rather than looking inside level 4 to say, okay, yeah, we can sort of chew this out from within.
Yeah. Mike, Mamma Mia ain't got nothing on trying to figure out who is the real final two alliance partner for Tyler.
Don't be smirch Mamma Mia 2, Rob. I saw it in theaters for my birthday last week, and it was...
Here we go again, yes.
Bellissimo. The moment you hear Christine Baranski say, be still my beating vagina, you know you have a cinematic hit on your hands.
Spoiler alert. Okay.
Spoiler alert, yes, for 15 minutes into the movie of a two-hour schlock fest that was Mamma Mia 2.
All right, so Fessy gets voted out. Melissa, any surprise for you in terms of the vote? I noticed that Sam was the one vote to evict Haley. In a baggy sweatshirt, do you think, is that possible? That is this like the Scotty in the swaggy C-shirt voting against swaggy? Was this a message that was sent by Sam?
You know, you never know with Sam. Anything could be considered a message.
Yeah, she's a complicated lady.
Complicated. Okay. That is one way to put it.
So Fessy goes out and well, let's circle back to his conversation with Julie. I think there's some fun stuff to talk about there, but it's sort of not our lead story at this hour. And we should talk about the getting to see all of the jurors. Melissa, were you psyched to see finally Bailey, Rockstar, and eventually Scotty in the jury house?
I was very excited to see it. I love those jury segments. They're really honestly one of my favorite parts when it gets down to the end game, because it's so fun to see them react to each other and explain what happened and try and make sense of everything once they're back together. So yeah, I love the jury segments. Of course, for like maybe a solid 4 minutes or 4 seconds, whatever, 30 seconds, my feed's cut out. But I watched the Bailey and Rockstar together and then Scotty near the end.
Yes. But well, it seemed like that we really were onto something where, and especially when Fessy comes out at the start of the battle back, mm-hmm. where it's like, hey, oh my God. We were an alliance. Look at us four idiots out here. How did we blow this? And mm-hmm. there's like, you know, this great reaction. Bailey is watching Rockstar in the veto competition. And basically them watching themselves. It's this this incredibly meta moment, which is like all of us watching them, that they had the same reactions to us watching them, to them watching themselves, of just with their jaw dropped of I can't believe that this group of people is so stupid. Here's Bailey yelling at Rockstar.
Why would you tell him?
I wasn't telling
him. What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry.
I played a clip from Brent from the LFC Roundtable from that week by accident. Let me see if I can find the clip of Bailey yelling at Rockstar. It's the same stuff.
Yeah. I mean, their jaws were open and their mouths were filling with blood at the pure concept of it. I love this because it's basically like Big Brother 20 react videos, right? Speaking of another popular trend of like Big Brother 20 house guests react to their own stupidity. Like, held by their own petards. And I love it because like, listen, I think sometimes we really do enjoy how delusional some people in this cast may be, but I will give these four, at least these few, a lot of credit for coming back together and being like, wow, we were all a bunch mm-hmm. of dumbasses. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, and were they going to improve on it? I'm not sure, considering what we heard about Scotty's big old plan, the plan he's supposed to stick back into the house.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you almost get the sense that if they got out of the house and they were on Twitter, they would be like poking fun at themselves and not talking about how they were really running everything and it just didn't work out. That you get the sense that they would be, you know, be fun about the whole thing. Scotty comes in and then, you know, in the same way that it was Rockstar is showing the Bailey the video and it's like, okay, Haley is HOH. How did this go wrong? Let's pop in Scotty's video. He comes in and says this, which is weird.
I got toasted. Game over.
Got toasted, Mike. I've never heard that in 20 years of reality television.
Yeah, I mean, Scotty is, to be a fan favorite, you got to add something to Big Brother vernacular. And I think he's going to try to bring getting toasted, even though Tyler's pretty toasted. He's pretty crispy himself. So I think that's everyone's
that's true.
Now.
I did hear, Mike, that Scotty was working with Don Draper on exactly what the tagline should be to describe his game. And I think Don said to him, it's toasted. That's it.
Don, you got to go with the carousel. It's like it's moving in a circle.
That could be for the HOH competition for later
exactly.
time. So, and then they pop in his video and it's like, oh, okay, great. Fessy is HOH. How did this happen? And that Scotty goes on to say, Melissa, that that he told Fessy how he was in love with Haley.
Yeah. Yeah. I was glad that they were like, why did you tell him that? Why? And then he's like, well, what's the problem? Why? And they're like, because he's in love with Haley. And Scotty's like, what? As if it like blew his mind. I mean, it's the most obvious thing ever that Fessy's in love with Haley. Like, we're all inundated with it every single day.
Yes.
If you listen really closely on the soundtrack, you can hear the initial notes of Scotty Doesn't Know just playing subtly in the background as he talks about that.
Yeah. And so the capper then is, then they're reunited with Fessy, who comes out. And Fessy, again, the reaction of Fessy.
First of all, I'm sorry, Scotty.
Yep. I was so glad he did that. And then when he was like, I'm so stupid, yep. I was like, okay.
I'm so stupid.
When I was cutting that clip, I was pretty confident that I had already cut several clips this season, which were named Fessy-stupid.mp3. But it actually, it turned out that I had not used that name yet.
Seems
inside Schmergen Brawl for that one. Okay, so we got to the Battle Back competition, and yeah, it looked like that this was stacked for Fessy to win it, especially that he had at least one, he had the first ball in.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Then he wasn't having any luck, and then it looked like we had a 1-4 Fessy, 1-4 Bailey, and 1 for Scotty, and then Rockstar got in there. Mike, this was tense.
I mean, this is why, you know, say what you want to about the Battle Back stuff, but what I love about stuff like this and the double evictions are that, you know, following Big Brother to the minute, you really get a sense as to even these sort of surprise votes, what's going to happen leading into it. These are moments of genuine live chaos going on. And as someone who absolutely loves chaos, it's so much fun to watch a situation where really none of us know what's going to happen. Really, anything can happen. Like you said, Jack Rabbit Rockstar in the corner bouncing up and down could have stood a chance of jocosting her way back into the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, it really was just 2 minutes of heightened and lowered emotions where it really was a back and forth game. Poor Fessy, Mr. Football Star, loses out on all the competitions based on balls this week for some reason. Just was not his week.
Not his week. Melissa, this was exciting in Celebrity Big Brother also, that this was, I think, one of the, was this a live veto that they did in one of the live double evictions?
I'm not sure. I know that they did it in Big Brother 19.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely did it then in like Raven and people were hanging over the thing. And every time, honestly, it's a liability. It's a logistical like nightmare. Yeah, legally,
somebody is going over the railing eventually.
Someone's
going
to go over the railing and fall right on their head and break their neck. And I don't know why they haven't prepared for this contingency. They need to have mats down.
That's free legal advice for fly on the wall entertainment.
So to be fair, I think a head injury wouldn't necessarily hurt any Faute member's game at this point.
Yeah, true. It would not hurt their game. It would be about the same.
Yeah. So Scotty wins and it's an exciting moment. And we say goodbye to Fessy and to Rockstar and to Bailey. And they huddle up and they say, OK, you know the plan, right? You got it, right? I know the plan. And he knows it. And we get Scotty out there with Julie Chen, and Julie wants to know, all right, Scotty, how are you feeling? And in true Scotty fashion, he says some nonsense that makes no sense.
What is going through your mind right now?
Oh, they're mine. Rated R for redemption.
Rated R for redemption. Okay, sure. Scotty, the plan? Well, what's the plan, Scotty? What are you going to do when you go back in the house? You've had a whole second chance. What are you going to do when you go back in there?
How do you plan on switching things up? What's your strategy going in?
Well, with Fess being gone, I was actually planning on getting back with him and Haley and like being like, see, you could have trusted me the whole time. But now that he's gone, I'm probably going to have to try to get back with Tyler.
Tyler's going to be the one you want to get tight with.
I'm going to resurrect Skyler is what I'm going to try to do.
What is he, a Breaking Bad stan, Mike?
Well, I mean, if he was, I don't know how highly he would be on Skyler, because not a lot of fans were.
You could hear Julie just like, that's your plan.
Yeah, she did the JC laugh there. Yeah,
this was Julie Chen's polite laughter at Scotty's plan.
Like if Julie says that to me, I'm gonna be like, if that's her reaction when I say it something and the crowd didn't say anything, and I'm sure they told the crowd like don't react, but like if I'm Scotty, I'm gonna think, okay, no crowd reaction, weird Julie Chen laugh that I've literally never heard her do in my life, clearly something is wrong here.
So are you implying they should do Price is Right rules and he just throws names out there and they just see how the crowd reacts to it?
JC, what do you think? KC?
I would have definitely turned toward the crowd and like just looked at their facial expressions, because you know, even if they can't react, they can't, you know, control their face if they're really disappointed in what I say or really ecstatic.
I mean, in true Scotty fashion, this plan
doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And see, it doesn't make sense.
I mean, how? He was in the jury house with Bailey and Rockstar for a week. rock star, the person Tyler is Palpatine. Bailey, we have to get rid of Tyler. Tyler is the end. Tyler is running everything. Mike, how could he be thinking like, I need to get back with Tyler when I get back in the house?
Well, I think that to your Star Wars comparison, maybe he figures he's going to be Vader. He's going to let Palpatine construct him into a new person. He'll lose Haley, which will make him scream no at the top of his lungs. And then eventually he's going to pick Tyler up, throw him over that railing, not on the mats because they haven't taken legal action on that, and get rid of him.
Look, okay, to Scotty's credit, we did say on the roundtable this week, like we were comparing in the past when the jurors come back, how do they fare and what is the best strategy coming in? And we unfortunately all said that it seemed like the jurors who fared the best teamed up with the most powerful person in the house, even though you want the juror to come back in and be like, I'm going against you and single out the person. But we even said that Scotty's best chance in the house is to pair up with Tyler. However, Kirsten McGinnis even tweeted about this, that his plan is to team up with Tyler and target Tyler's showman, Angela, which is like the exact bad opposite thing that he should be trying to do because they're on two completely opposing sides.
And Melissa, you make an excellent point. That would be a great decision to work with Tyler. And but Tyler isn't hearing what's happening. Like if she's not asking him necessarily. Like in the short term, if you worked with Tyler and then worked to undermine Tyler, that would be a great plan. Mm-hmm. But it seems like that he wants to get back into the house. And who knows? Like Haley may pull him aside, and within 15 seconds, Haley's like, no, we're not doing that. Stop. That's a dumb plan.
I think he will listen to Haley whatever she says to do.
But I just, Mike, it blows my mind how he could have been in that draft. Fessy comes out and talks about what, here's the plan. They're all saying, get rid of Tyler. And he wants to go back in and work with Tyler.
Maybe Scotty feels like he's cursed in a way. Mm-hmm. And so by sort of touching Tyler, he feels like he's like a suicide bomber in that way. He's like, look, I'm probably going to get taken out if I don't win HOH. Let me bring down Tyler with me. Much like Fessy was trying to do with Angela. I'm trying to make sense of this. This seems like a ridiculous thing. Now, granted, he even admits here, like, look, I'm putting all this stuff out now. It's all basically going to change when I walk through the door and do my best Mike Boogie, Daddy's Home, throw my bag on the floor and yell to everybody. But I will say going in, if that really was the plan, in true Faute fashion, that actually would make a lot of sense if that was the plan.
Melissa, we joked around about, Brett's missed this season. But I mean, Tyler is like, people say he's greasy. I think he's been covered in Love Potion number 9 that. I mean, of the other 15 players in the season, you could strongly argue that about 10 of them have been madly in love with him, where they want to do is come back to Tyler. I don't understand how he's like, he seems like a nice guy, but he is the most charismatic man on the planet Earth. I mean, going back to the people on the preacher, I think other than Rockstar, every single person has been, some degree of either they really, really strongly like him and do things for him that are not in their best interest, too. They are madly in love with him and do things to protect him.
Yeah, I honestly, I want to say I don't get it because but also like I'm not in the house and I haven't really been face to face with him. Maybe I would understand it then, but at the same time, every time I see a diary room session of his, I'm like, that guy, you can't hate him. Like, even if you're pissed off at him thinking, he's controlling the whole house. It's boring when he's just having everyone do everything for him. Like, why is everyone just going along with this? Then he does a diary room session and you're like, man, he's just this nice guy, charming guy. Well, he's clever, funny, whatever. And I get taken by him too. So I can see why the house is falling for him. But at the same time, I mean, if I'm in the house and I'm playing a game, you have to keep that in the back of your mind at all times. If you're playing a game and if someone is convincing you that they're this awesome person every time you talk to them, clearly everyone else is thinking the same thing and you got to watch out for them.
Mike, there are seven other people in the house. I think almost every single one of them would say that Tyler is their best friend.
Yeah, I mean, he now has, as he mouths to the camera, four final twos, might be a fifth. If Skylar is resurrected, that's going to make
Haley
for number
needs
five.
A final two now.
We need Hyler. We need, what else? He surprisingly did not mention Angela in the list
Angela's
of final two.
Angela's the person he doesn't have a final two with.
I don't know if that's implied. I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, I mean, this sets things up interestingly. I saw a tweet about how this might be sort of the end of the second trimester. I probably should not be throwing that word out there. But the second sort of era of this season of Big Brother, where, yes, we still have sort of Scotty and Haley to dispatch with. There's a good chance they might be dispatched with, along with Sam, maybe in the next few weeks. But I feel like, you know, Julie, I think for the second week in a row has like led into a segment being like, is Tyler making too many final two alliances, which I think is a really interesting choice.
Was on Thursday night's eviction show as well, about all of the final two alliances that Tyler has. So, you know, the show is definitely, you know, they're prepared. If things go sour for Tyler, you know, we've at least, you know, sort of gotten at least the start of that story, but he's got, you know, everything is still working for him. He's still got that good mojo going on to this point. Now, we do not have the HOH competition underway yet, that I have seen in the chat that it looks like they are going to get this up and running in around about 45 minutes from now. Melissa, does that sound right?
I heard that it's not going to happen till 10:30.
10:30 Big Brother time. Okay, so still a ways to go. So I think they're probably doing some sort of a reset. I do think, you know, we had heard from Vegas the spoiler that it was going to be the spinning competition. It did look like, based on, you know, we had the spinning orbs, it seemed like that they could refit that pretty easily, Mike, and set up that HOH competition.
Yeah, I mean, it could hold styrofoam balls. We can put people
for
in
the
it.
Information.
Yes, thank you, Vegas. Greatly
thank
appreciated.
You, Vegas.
Thank you.
thank you.
Vegas doesn't acknowledge me. When Vegas tweeted out, I love RHAP, Vegas, she included a tag to you, tag to Taryn, well, tag to Fred.
Melissa, maybe no more live feed updates until people appreciate you.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a good idea. I wonder where you got that idea from. All right, everyone. I will no longer be speaking on this podcast tonight.
Wait to go back on Twitter.
Yeah. Pull a Sam and take a vow of silence. Like, it's broken in like 2 hours.
No, we need you now. We need you. I appreciate you.
I mean, we can expect the spinning. If that's the case, I guess we can do some speculation here as well. In that aforementioned Mamma Mia 2 competition, Scotty was a practical whirling dervish there. And even though he did not win that competition, he did win that competition. You'd expect that, you know, that coupled with the fact that, you know, he is as nervous, to get back in the house as the pustule that's apparently growing on his neck that he was talking about at the end of the episode. It's festering under his. It was a weird, in true Scotty fashion, it was a weird welcome back remark. When he was hugging Casey, I'm like, what is he talking about? And then it's like a nice, how do you do is, hey, let's talk about, you know, my neck knee.
Yeah. Going back to that competition, that spinning competition, you make a great point, Mike, that Scotty did not seem to get dizzy in the Mamma Mia competition. We've worked it all back tonight that Mike summoned back the Mamma Mia competition earlier.
It's like it was like a ghost that appeared, and no spoilers for Mamma Mia 2.
Yes. Okay. Here is JC on Scotty's spinning prowess.
Mamma Mia.
Oh, wait. Said this one.
Scott is going crazy. He looks like a lunatic. He's just spinning. Mama mia, I have to party with Scotty.
What it didn't show was Scotty or Winston actually ran into the glasses then, and one of them just hit JC right in the nuts, but they decided not to show it on the show for some reason.
Okay, let's get back to the interview with Julie Chen and Fessy, and she has some fun moments with Fessy. Really, Fessy was like, we needed Johnny Mac back, because this was like pulling teeth tonight, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, this is look, Fessy, God bless him. He worked a lot to prepare that speech, but I think it shows that maybe not the best in live interview format. That's why I'm happy that I'll be writing to him instead of actually speaking with him. But yeah, you could feel, and I don't know what fire has been lit under Julie Chen. Maybe she got a software upgrade in lieu of the, you know, the technology theme, but she has been so much fun in these after shows.
There's not a lot going on this summer.
Yeah, she's feisty. She's got some feistiness to her, and I sort of like that. Now, granted, does it mess a bit with the objectivity, and also the fact that she'll mention the objectivity sometimes, like when she says, we were talking about before, when she sort of gave away the fact that, like, I don't like that Tyler Alliance, but then follows it up with, I won't say anything, I won't give away anything. But I think her interview with Fessy was an admirable effort, considering that, as I mentioned before, one of Fessy's answers was essentially a prolonged for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, Julie asked him about the relationship with Haley outside the house.
Is there going to be a relationship between the two of you once she's out of the house and you guys are back in the real world?
We're going to see. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I hope she is too.
That's what she just said when Scotty said he was going to go after Tyler.
Is there a relationship between the two?
The goodbye messages, Melissa, have been such a big part of all of the evictions this season. Nobody really gave it to Fessy. Casey a little bit. She was a little salty still about when Fessy complimented her on winning her first veto of the season. And he was even like muttering under her breath, like, oh, she only won one competition. It's about time.
Yeah,
it's
like, who cares?
But here was, let me see if I have JC's goodbye to Fessy. This was so great.
Fessy, I'm so low energy right now. You know, you were my friend here in the house, and we were always hanging out and spending time together. And now I'm gonna be here without you. What am I gonna do without my big Muppet?
Now,
I'm so low energy right now.
You are like a Jeb Bush. You're so low energy now.
Please clap.
Yes, Mike. When he calls all season long, he's calling Fessy his big dumb puppet. Is this a joke for JC that he's calling him his Muppet?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the difference is that a puppet has no discernible personality, right? You're literally putting your hand up it and you're giving it a personality. Muppets, I feel like over the course of the 40 something years they've been around, they develop their own personalities. Big Muppet, I would think maybe he's talking about like Big Bird or Sweetums. I'm not entirely sure, but
right.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, Big Bird a Muppet.
I think it's part of the Jim Henson umbrella, I would say. Muppet adjacent, perhaps.
I feel like Fozzie would be a big Muppet, but the Big Bird is a person in the Big Bird costume.
Right, but I mean, like,
doesn't mean
big,
it's not a Muppet.
Yeah, I think is your definition of a Muppet like something that is not life size?
I don't know if it's necessarily the size. Like, I feel like if there was a, a giant a Muppet that was operated by a person. But once a person gets in it, that's a costume.
Whoa. Okay. It's not a costume. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. Big Bird lives on Sesame Street. I feel like, okay. You know what?
Leave it to the let's social media determine this. Is Big Bird a Muppet? Yes or no? I say
all the hard hitting questions asked on this podcast.
Yes. Okay. That's a good one. And we touched on the Haley goodbye. I do think with JC, Melissa, is it possible that JC is doing some jury management here, that if it ever gets back to Fessy that he called him a big dumb puppet, that he said, no, I said Muppet, not puppet.
I was actually thinking that.
Lovable, Muppet.
His cover is like, oh, no, I meant Muppet. Oh, you thought I was, the language bear. I guess this is just a misunderstanding. Like, Fessy, you're so dumb. You don't understand.
Yes.
I honestly, JC's, jury management damage control, I don't think it's going to go very well for him, because, I mean, Fessy or Scotty already found out that that JC
likes to bite his nipples. Yes, we know that. Yes,
that. But also that JC was the reason that Scotty got out, or that he was putting stuff in Fessy's ear. So already that goodbye message where he's like, I don't know what happened, I'm so sad, is, you know, out. Okay, so that doesn't matter. And now the Fessy one, I'm sure somebody is going to leave the house and be like, JC thought he was controlling you this whole time. I don't know what he was talking about. He said he wasn't even your friend. And then Fessy's get that goodbye message is going to go up in smoke. So I don't quite understand JC's strategy. And I think it has to do with the fact that he's not super familiar with the show. And like similar to Brett, where Brett was just going crazy with the goodbye messages until you realize, like, oh, shoot, these people are going to be voting for me or not, depending on these messages. And now JC is just doing the Paul strategy. And I feel like he's going to regret it.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, he sounded pretty disingenuous, in my opinion, that goodbye message. He sounded like one of those, like, kids reading a script from the Peanuts where, like, they sound bad, but, like, they're supposed to sound bad for that reason. I don't know. JC, for me,
I'm so sad. Now I'm going to be low energy.
yes, you're my line? Muppet? Okay, but, I mean, JC is so interesting to me. I'll admit, this is probably the first house guest in a long time where there is such a disparity in me between someone who I really do not like on the feeds, but I really like on the show. He is having so much fun on the show. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I think that to Melissa's point, he might not necessarily be realizing that, you know, all this sort of gloating and fun that he's having with his persona on the show, when he's trying to make that translate into dealing with people in the goodbye messages, mm-hmm. there's a difference between handling an audience and handling someone face to face, you know? And I think that if he's treating one like the other, that won't necessarily translate into a fantastic game. Should he make it to the final two, which I know he is trying to work adamantly to sort of swim against the current that's rapidly building against him.
Now, Melissa, I think that most of us presume, I'll put an asterisk on this, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but this Thursday, are we expecting the double eviction to take place? Because I didn't catch Julie saying that this would be a double eviction coming up this Thursday.
Yeah, I didn't hear her say anything about that. I know there's speculation about a double eviction, but I don't know for sure if there is or not. I feel like she would have said something if there was going to be, because then she'd want people to get pumped up about it and like tune in. So I don't believe there's going to be a double eviction this week, but maybe next week.
Well, what needed to happen was a house guest had to ask Julie if it was a double eviction, and then she would have had to make some sort of gesture or mannerism, and we would then gauge, you know, whether or not it's happening.
Yeah, I do believe that traditionally Julie does tell us when there's going to be a double eviction coming up. So it'll be interesting to see. Do we go from 8 to 6 or could it be the night of, I believe that's September the 13th, and then go from 7 to 5 in the double eviction? So that'll be interesting to follow as these next couple of weeks go. We were able to reach out to Fessy about the question, is Big Bird a Muppet? This is what Fessy had to say.
If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, most likely it's a duck. And that's Scotty.
Okay.
All right. Answer is C, none of the above. Big Bird is a duck. We heard it first here.
Now we know.
Big Bird, Scotty has a kind of a Muppet-like voice.
He does.
Melissa, I was talking about this with Taryn last night. The prospects of a Scotty HOH, that seems like that could create the most intrigue. How would you expect, based on everything we've seen from Scotty tonight, what do you think he would be looking to do with his nominations?
I think he would want Angela to go. So I think that he would be, I mean, unless Tyler gets to him and convinces him not to have Angela go.
But what would he convince him to do?
Not put up Angela. Well,
who,
take out
after who?
I believe that,
you know,
I
Brett is so charismatic. You gotta go after him.
I feel like there would be a way to convince Scotty to go after JC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I because I think that he already has in his mind from Fessy right then and there that JC was the reason why he was up on the block. He already said that he thought JC would be the least excited to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that there could be a way to have everyone in the house, you know, talk to him like, man, we all love you, but JC has been targeting you this whole game. Like, he's going to come after you. He's devastated that you're back in the house, blah, blah, blah. And get him to target JC, possibly put Angela on the block. Maybe there's a way to get him to target Brett, considering that Brett was one of the main reasons why he got out, because he had lied about Scotty's vote. So, you know, there's a bunch of things that could happen, but I think it really depends who sits down with Scotty alone and talks with him. And I think that if Tyler gets to him first, we could be looking at a week where JC goes home. I think that if Haley talks to him first, we could be looking at a week when Angela goes home. So it really depends who gets to Scotty and who can be like, hey, this is what's going on in the house right now. And I think that both Tyler and Tyler and Haley could convince Scotty to do what they want.
Melissa, do you feel like that if Scotty does not get HOH, that he is surely at least going up on the block this week?
It's tough to say, because I think if there's like a Haley HOH, he's not going on the block. I could see JC possibly not putting Scotty on the block. Maybe. I mean, that's really tenuous, but I think it's possible, because JC really wants Angela and Casey, or he wants Angela out, and he sees, you know, the weirdness with Tyler and Angela and how that could really hurt him. But I mean, honestly, it seems like the path of least resistance for everyone in the house is just to do a revolving door and have Scotty leave right now, you know, next week, because then everyone can say, look, you know, we were here first. We deserve it. We've been playing the whole time. Like, let's just have an easy week this week and get Scotty right back out the door. We can all agree on that. So I could see that happening, which would be disappointing, because I feel like Scotty coming in was one of the only situations I could see where something might change, where the game might change a bit. I felt like Rockstar would come back in. She'd go right back out. I felt the same about Bailey. I felt like Fessy would just sit with Haley in a bed all day, and that would be that. So I felt like Scotty was one of the only people who could come back in and really switch things up. So, you know, we'll have to see.
Mike, do you feel like that Scotty has a big target on his back now that he came in? I know that we've seen this a million times before with Big Brother. You know, everybody talks about, like, all right, well, whoever comes back, we're just going to get rid of that person. But I mean, we're talking about, you know, these other agendas that people have in the house. Is Scotty really going to be that big of a priority? I mean, even if some of these other level six people get HOH this week, going after Scotty, is that going to be top of mind? Like, he might see the block, but do you feel like he'll go home?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to look at, like, the two that I'm really thinking of are Judd and Johnny Mack are the two that were able to, you know, come back at this point and really make it to the final five, final four, respectively. You can throw Amy in there as well, though she sort of became the pawn star, you know,
And Victor came back for a bit twice.
That's true. Yes, sure. Though Victor also won competitions to, you know, put himself in power. And he also did get evicted another time and then came back.
Yes.
So that's a bit besides the point. But yeah, I mean, I think it honestly depends on what's on everyone's immediate mind. And the thing that I've been noticing, especially in these latter days, are that even though people were thinking about this battle back, it does seem like a lot of the level four were thinking about, okay, Tyler was really instituting this plan of Haley, Sam, Haley, Sam, Haley, Sam. You have to wonder if one of them wins. And I mean, you know, you have three out of the seven of them competing. There's a good chance that it might be one of them. Are they going to keep going with that? Or do you think they might still keep trying to string Sam along by throwing Scotty up there instead, even though their target might be Haley? And to your point, he might end up surviving even just one more week because they say, okay, Haley's got to be the next one out.
Yeah. I mean, and from the Faute people that are possibly that could be at this point, I do feel like that Haley and Scotty are probably two of the least threatening, Melissa.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like they have a good ability of kind of integrating themselves in with people. Obviously it was like partly fake, but, and you have to take it for what it's worth, but everyone was very excited that Scotty came back. And even, you know, when I'm looking at the feed updates now, people are talking to themselves being like, Scotty was the one person who I was hoping would come back. So I do feel like out of everybody from the Faute Alliance or the Faute side of the house, I feel like Haley and Scotty have had the best ability of kind of blending back into the group and hanging out with people and not making it weird.
Yeah. Neither of them have gone scorched earth, even in the week where Scotty was leaving. And I think Scotty even talked about that his best chance was to go out of the house and then come back in a battle back, possibly. So I think that he sort of left that on the table, which turned out to be very smart, even though we didn't even know at the time that there was going to officially be a battle back. So good on Scotty for that. And we'll see what he will be able to do with this opportunity moving forward. All right, let's start to bring in some of the questions from you guys that Scott has put together for us here. Our own Scotty. L Anonymous says, will Scotty team up with Haley knowing that Fessy is in love with her and that she is a sinking ship? I mean, I don't necessarily know, you know, why he would not work with her based on Fessy's feelings, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like got to keep hands off, because even though we did not see Brett's goodbye message, we know his definite feelings towards being left alone in the house with Haley. I mean, and also considering that, like, one of the reasons Fessy put him up is because, like, Scotty's always talking game to you and he's not talking game with me. So I think that for Haley, this was probably the best option, even more so than Fessy. This is a total, like, Lisa Donahue ends up voting out Eric. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Amy comes back into the house, which ends up working out well for her in that, you know, they are connected pretty well, even though the edit did not show this. She was behind putting him up. But I think that they at least get along to a certain level, but they're at least disparate enough, to your point, socially, that, you know, they're not being bed sores, putting them, you know, essentially sequestering themselves for 72 hours at a time. So this is where they can really partner up, I think, more so than any other person that could have possibly come back and possibly do some damage, even though, like I said before, it feels like if anyone from level 4 wins, I feel like at least one of them's going up.
Okay. All right. Here's a question from the Melissa Bot. Wants to know, how long will Scotty last? No, Mike Bloom, this is not a 26-year-old virgin joke. Okay. Relax. Relax, Mike.
You never know. Listen, he's.
But the answer to both questions might be not long.
Yeah, I was not going to say anything about a comeback. Nothing that would be rated R for redemption,
right.
And I would want to do a family podcast.
Yes. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's really going to depend on how this HOH, but I'm a little bullish on Scotty not immediate. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, Melissa, that Scotty is definitely going out on Thursday.
No, I don't think so at all. I think if it was anyone else coming back in the house, I would feel less good about their chances remaining in the house. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Scotty's back, and the fact that when he left, he told people from level 6 that he would owe them and he wouldn't forget that he owed them, even if he came back in the house. And he really left on good terms with essentially everybody, except for kind of Fessy. But even then, it was like he didn't leave on terrible terms with him. So really, Scotty left on the best terms with everybody. And I could see him coming back in and saying, like, look, I want to work with you guys. I owed you guys these promises, da, 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 da. I'm down to do whatever you guys want to do. I learned my lesson working with that side of the house, whatever he wants to say. And then they could sit there and say, you know what, we could keep him around for a little bit longer because there are other people we got to get out of the house first.
Melissa, so, let me just ask Melissa one quick question on this. So the Angela and Tyler relationship, how much has that changed in the week that Scotty was gone? Whereas if Scotty comes back, is like, okay, I'm gonna bro down with Tyler. If Tyler is sort of unavailable for him, where Brett is the guy who is around to hang out with Scotty all the time, Operation Scotty is my best friend. If that's the case, could you see Brett being able to pull Scotty back in and have him as a number on his side of the level 6 war?
You're making me very excited about this. Yes. You're making me very excited because that is what I want. I want Scotty and Haley and Brett to team up because I really do think that that's a good option for Brett. I know some people might disagree, but he's low man on the totem pole on level 6. And I really think that it would be a really fun thing to watch. And I think it would be beneficial to all involved to have those three team up and go for it. But, you know, it's hard to say because I do think that the Angela and Tyler relationship has changed since Scotty left the house. I feel like before it was just like little glances at each other. Maybe they were, you know, hanging out a little bit, but maybe some light flirting. Mm-hmm. But not like it is now. And I feel like right now it's on the verge of a full-blown showmance. And so I do think it changes the dynamic a little bit, especially with Scotty saying he's going to target Angela.
Mm-hmm. So You're talking about Scotty coming back sort of brought up this question to me, because I feel like, you know, we talk a lot in this sort of modern day Big Brother where there's almost always going to be a battle back in some portion of, you know, when you're in the house, how should you be treating people, you know, that are leaving? Is there a theory that we can apply for the inverse? Because I totally agree, Melissa, that I think everyone was really happy to see Scotty back. And one reason was because Scotty seemed generally amicable with everyone on the way out, despite the circumstances he was put out. I think, you know, Brett says something along the lines tonight of like, pretty much anyone who comes back is going to be against me. He's a good example of how some of the people that have left previously did not leave on necessarily good terms with people, no matter how much they might have made up to in their goodbye messages. So what I might ask is, if you're playing Big Brother in the future and you go out and you figure there might be a battle back, should you, as the person leaving, treat everyone well too, so that when you inevitably come back into the house, you sort of have a good out to pursue?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the scary thing about these last minute, last ditch effort speeches, because there could be a battle back, and you don't want to taint the, not the jury, but I guess the people that you would possibly be coming back to play with. You want to leave on a good note with everybody. And I mean, it's also possible to do these like last minute speeches, but not taking an entirely scorched earth approach. And instead of like insulting people personally, just say like, look, here's like a game analysis of why you should keep me, rather than, you know, Fessy's talking about Angela's personal life and stuff like that and insulting her, saying like, you're not all that or whatever. It's like that sort of thing a good idea. But, you know, I think that that's definitely something to think about. And I think that's what people, well, at least Scotty was thinking about. I mean, he said, CTFN, ta-ta for now. So,
and he meant it. It was only, yeah. What a prophecy.
CTFN.
Yeah. It's not goodbye. Yeah. It's TTFN, ta-ta for now.
He knew that he manifested the FN, and the FN came back, and it might F some other players.
Yes. Now, Mike, did you notice when Scotty came back into the house that people were commenting like, damn, Scotty, you look good. Have you been working out? No, he just has gotten away from JC.
Yes. He got away from JC's cheesy hot dog pasta and the hot dogs that looked like they had straight up dookie on it and the cafecitos.
Miami cafecito.
I made like a pasta with hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
I'm expecting to see JC on a season of Top Chef coming up soon. I mean, he can't avoid any show that has top in the title, so I feel like he's bound to appear there sometime.
Oh, boy.
Let's go to another question as quickly as possible. This is from Sin Lu Hu. Scotty's best bet is to gather all of the floaters. Haley, Sam, JC, and Brett. That's 5 votes against 3. What do you think? Melissa, is that a realistic possibility of the 5 people who are not in the 3? We saw JC in this episode talk with Tyler about, look, we have to put Angela and Casey up on the block. And Tyler says, no effing way. We're not doing that. No way. No way. I thought Tyler did not handle that particularly well.
No, not great. Not great at all. If it was anyone else but JC, well, maybe not. But if I was in that position, I'd be like, it's really strange that he's that insistent that we don't do this method. He's not even entertaining it. Mm-hmm. So clearly there's something going on between him and Angela and Casey, because otherwise, at least he'd be entertaining the idea and be like, because JC thinks that Tyler and him are like each other's number one ally. So if your number one ally is like, absolutely no, your idea is stupid, I would be like, that's kind of weird that you're not even listening to me.
This is interesting because you guys were talking about on the LFC roundtable the other night about the idea of like, if you pitch something to an ally and they're sort of like, yeah, okay, sure, whatever you want to do, that's fine. All right, whatever, it sounds good. Okay, let's lock it in. That's good. That's a good sign that this person is not really your ally, but sort of like, then when you're like poking around at things and then all of a sudden it's like, ooh, I think I found a raw nerve here. But it's like, no way, no way, impossible, cannot do that. I feel like that should be pretty telling also.
Mm-hmm. It's a traffic light, right? It's like the stop and the yield sort of says like, all right, I can pursue or I can stop depending on where I am in the intersection, or you can go straight ahead. But I think that the hard red sign that Tyler was giving, I agree, it comes off a bit sketch, especially because if Tyler is coming across so affable and goofy like he usually does. Yeah, and to have him suddenly break character like that, like Rockstar in the DR, just suddenly turn into a different person all of a sudden. It's a little
satisfying. I will kill you, JC. I will not. No way.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's absolutely true. And it's really interesting how a lot of people in the house can't pick this out when they're having a conversation with someone and that person is just going, huh, yeah, interesting, you think?
Right. Oh, right.
Cool.
Right,
and right, they're just saying, right. Oh, they totally agree with me. We're all on the same page. We're all on board. But there's a total difference between someone just being like, interesting. Yeah. Okay. You're bringing up some really good points and someone actively contributing to the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you're having a conversation with someone and they're just like barely contributing, it means that either they just aren't even listening to you and they don't care what you have to say because you mean nothing to them, or they're planning on taking that conversation and going to the person and telling other people about it, because then they are in the clear because they can say, I literally didn't say anything. I just listened to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what happened with the whole Bailey Tyler fight, right? Was that like, it was all just someone saying, yeah, probably she'll go up. And then look what happened. Words are currency in the Big Brother house. It's the only thing you can really use. And I feel like you said, you're essentially giving someone, you know, a bunch of coins when you say something to them, and they can spend it however they want.
In response.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take another question. For instance, from Tia wants to know, did you just hear Angela say to Scotty, I got fess out for you right before he hugged her and the show went off? So are Tyler and Angela going to spin it as, hey, that was messed up what Fessy did to you? That's why we had to get him out. But then are they going to talk to Haley? He's like, that's not true.
Yeah. I know. Lots of competing stories.
Yes. And
Haley could just say like, hey, there was this Final Four deal that was made while you were on the block involving me, just in case, you know. I mean, I can understand how they're going to try to do double team this whole new BFF strategy, but there's too many competing stories, and there's someone directly in Scotty's ear telling him that that's not true. So it might work on some people, but I would assume not him.
Now, Melissa, we know that Scotty told Fessy that he had feelings for Haley, and JC also got them worked up. But does everybody in the house do Tyler and Angela know that Scotty has genuine feelings for Haley and that he's not going to be turned so easily against her?
I think a lot of people recognize that Scotty is interested in Haley. Maybe they don't know the extent of it, but I think that it's pretty obvious. Although, to be fair, I thought that Fessy's feelings for Haley were very obvious, and Scotty didn't even know. So, you know, who knows anymore?
Yeah. Okay. Let's take this question from Marissa. Is Scotty's plan to team back up with Tyler a result of Tyler's great gameplay or Fessy's stupidity? Can it be both?
What does Fessy's stupidity have to do with it? He wasn't the one that said, okay, here are your marching orders. It sounds like this is what him and Bailey and Rockstar were concocting inside of that jury house between downward dogs.
I can't believe that Rockstar and Bailey, in a week of working on Scotty, that they were not able to get him to change his heart on Tyler.
You know what? It's possible that this is all a big plan, that it's like, hey, cuddle up with Tyler and then and get close to him so that you can stab him in the back or something like that. But I really don't know. And I don't think this is a Rockstar Bailey plan of like, you should work with Tyler. He's great. I think that it's Scotty thinking, I have a relationship with Tyler. I mean, I think Scotty is still totally believing that him and Tyler had this, you know, real, true alliance. And that Tyler just felt like he couldn't vote to keep him because they didn't have the votes. And I think that he's going to go back thinking like, we'll resurrect this real alliance. And I don't think he realizes that that was all just a fake.
Yeah.
Well, a couple things on that. First, I mean, maybe the Rockstar Bailey part was not the Tyler thing, but the Angela thing. Because let's recall that Angela left that scathing goodbye message. I think she did she put Bailey up, and then with Rockstar, I think, wasn't that the one where she said, like, you think I'm, you know, a stuck-up princess, sort of like the prequel to Fessy's Avengers. So maybe that part of the plan was them, and Scotty just sort of improvised there. But maybe another thing with Scotty is that, you know, one of the reasons why, I guess, he wore the Swaggy C-shirt when he cast the vote against Swaggy C was, apparently, according to him, he thought he was jockeying for a power app. Could he be thinking Tyler might be an America's Favorite House Guest at this point? If I get close with him, that might help the audience sway over to my side. So when the inevitable popularity stuff comes around, that might help me.
I was actually, but to be fair, I was thinking the same thing when he said it. Not that he was going to try and get to be America's Favorite, but that he was hoping for a good crowd reaction or something when he said it. Because he kind of like looked a little bit and said, like, I think I want to resurrect Scaly or whatever. And it was like, or Skylar or whatever. And everyone was like, okay, is that a thing?
Yeah.
And so when he hears Julie's reaction, I do think that it does affect someone like Scotty. I do think that the fact that Julie wasn't gung-ho about it, I think that'll affect him.
By the way, Mike, was Skylar ever a thing?
Well, I mean, it seems a bit...
it's the first time I've heard this term thrown around.
Yeah.
We heard Faley for the first time tonight. We heard Skylar. Let's make anything a portmanteau. Like JC's hot dog pasta. Throw everything in a pot and let's make a romance out of it.
Okay. I think this is an interesting question. So if a situation develops tonight where the HOH puts up Scotty and Haley on the block, Mike, do you think that Scotty would actively campaign against Haley, or do you think that we would see for the second week in a row somebody just, basically giving up when up on the block against Haley because they don't want to upset her?
That would be an odd thing of just like, you're talking about Tyler's appeal. Haley might have the most appeal considering that whoever she's up on the block against.
I can't.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, that would be insane. I think Scotty's got a bit more fight to him to, because again, Fessy's someone who was so enraptured, so sucked into the orbit of planet Haley that he couldn't escape her gravitational pull and actually think about, actual game ramifications. I think Scotty could definitely
Calamartian planet.
No, he got a mouthful of that and promptly spat it out and moved on to the next one. But I think that, Scotty would be able to at least, I don't know if he'd actively campaign against Haley, but I think he can just say, come on, I mean, look at her. That could be his speech basically summed up. But I think he could basically say, though, like, look, she has a guaranteed vote on the jury in Fessy. I don't, because Fessy put me up. They don't know how Fessy reacted to, him seeing Scotty. He could say that him and Fessy got into a big barroom brawl fight in the backyard and say that they're not on good terms. So that could dissuade from them from saying, okay, Haley has three jury votes locked up at this point. Scotty, we're not so sure. Haley's the one to get rid of right now.
Melissa, do you think that Scotty would be so aggressive against Haley up on the block?
I don't think he'd be maybe aggressive against her, but I do think that he, after seeing the jury house and getting a scent, like a taste of what it's like leaving the house, I do think that there's been a fire lit under him and he would want to stay.
I think he'd fall on his sword.
You think
I really
so?
Do. I think he'd fall on his sword for Haley.
Well, if he does, I will be very, very disappointed.
Yep. We'll see. All right. A couple more questions. This is from Ving 2004. Do you plan on checking out Fessy Fitness now, Mike?
Well, I already did, apparently. For those of you who don't follow the B&B, I was accidentally catfished when Liana Boris posted a photo of Tyler under my name, which now, considering the things, the ramifications, I might have a lot more requests than we initially thought, considering the allure of Tyler Crispin's baby blue eyes, apparently. I've heard Fessy's gotten a bump in downloads. I don't know if he necessarily should be reading the app reviews, but I mean, he might need to use his stipend to increase at least the look of it. Maybe he can partner with some sort of web developer. Maybe Brett can help him design the Fessy Fitness.
Yeah.
Poor Fessy leaving the house. Honestly, he seems like a nice guy and I feel bad for him because all these people making fun of his app, and then JC, he's going to watch these episodes and see that his friend JC was just calling him a stupid puppet the whole time. I hope he's okay afterwards. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that. I mean, I think it's interesting because, I've sort of had this battle with, I can understand people's drawbacks on the season, especially in the middle of the part that, the Hive is a really, it's tough to root for them as underdogs. It's like, trying to get a Seabiscuit-esque story out of a horse with two legs. Like, they can try all they want. They're not going to win, but, we're going to root for them anyway because we want the underdog to win at the end. But it just, I agree that like he seems like a totally nice guy. And look, looking on the positive side, I think we all expected him to completely be a non-entity starting before this season. He'd only been known
ham crap out.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe the Amazon stuff, maybe he got like a microbe in his brain or something. Like we taught him to make all these weird, crazy decisions. But considering that, but that's, again, it speaks to the strength of this cast that I feel like even the people that we sort of wrote off as non-entities, even someone like Angela, who was, really literal furniture for the first month or so of the game. Now you have people going out of their way in eviction speeches to throw her under the bus. Mm-hmm. That's pretty staggering.
Yeah. All right. Let's take this question. This one is from George. Is it safe to say that someone who doesn't notice that Fessy likes Haley in a house with 10 people won't be able to uncover hidden alliances and come up with plans to win the game? We're saying it would be a long shot. It would be a long shot, but hopefully between him and Haley, maybe they could put their heads together and compare notes and maybe be pawns in somebody else's big move against the Tyler, Angela / KC group.
And to be fair, I mean, Haley and Scotty were probably the most aware and game intelligent people on the Fauté side of the house. So the idea that they could team up and, you know, put their brain power together without all these external factors that just Fessy or whoever here, I think that it could turn out much better than Fauté turned out.
Yeah, right. I agree with Rob. You don't need Angela to clear that bar.
No. Okay. This is from Beachnut 22077. Do you think if Scotty actually does work with Tyler, Tyler will feel more at ease going after JC since JC seems hellbent to evict Angela or KC? I mean, I think that if Tyler can win Scotty back over, that would be another number. But I think that Scotty is coming in thinking he wants to work with Tyler. But I think that once Haley talks to him for 10 minutes and says, no, that's not the plan. Now, Melissa, yeah. I think that the tricky thing is we don't really know what Haley's plan is going to be because she's just been feeding everybody that she wants to go after Sam if she stays in the house, right?
Yeah, and hopefully that is not the case.
Yeah, okay. Question from Bradley, or more of a statement. Scotty just correctly guessed the HOH comp based on the setup he saw outside. So, okay, so kudos.
Yeah.
Kudos to Scotty. He has not really been able to translate any of that to, results in the game. But, he's good at figuring out what's going to come up next. Okay.
You know, another interesting thing. This isn't really a spoiler. It's just something Scotty said on the feeds was that, and it's interesting because it kind of ties into the idea of like the jury being tainted by the interviews that they're a part of. No offense, Mike. Scotty said that Steve might be a policeman because in an interview, there was a wall of items that you give to the interviewers, which I'm pretty sure is off the block or on the block. I forgot which one is which. And it said his was a badge. So Scotty was able to see the gifts that the house guests present to Marissa and Ross, and Steve's was a police badge. And so it's interesting that if any, you know, other people's various items could influence the jury or give them an idea of things that they maybe didn't know before.
Yeah.
I mean, say, for example, Rockstar or someone had this big secret. She puts the thing, she gives them the gift. They have it up on the wall. Then she ends up being the juror that goes back. But the jurors have now seen that item. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so then they can be like, hey, wow, this whole twist that Rockstar had that she was a secret rocket scientist or whatever. We all know about it. I just feel like it is interesting. I don't always think that the questions taint the jury, but I think that that's interesting that he was able to see that. And why would they be showing the gifts from each house guest to each evicted house guest? I don't know. But anyway, I just thought it was an interesting.
I do think it speaks to the fact that with the last two things that we've talked about, Scotty is super observant. If there is any sort of competition, and he did win that HOH that he won earlier in the season was on one of these quiz things where they were doing the pineapple phone, and then he was able to memorize that. So Scotty does have an incredible memory and an incredible eye for detail, even though he misses things that are in plain sight going on with the other players in the house. He is very good with inanimate objects, Mike.
Wait, I'm just almost like on the fact on they provide like an offering to Ross and Marissa.
It's like a strange thing because you know that production has like, I mean, they haven't been out in the real world. Literally, production must hand them a gift being like, okay, you're going to give this gift to them. And it's always something weird.
Hey, I picked this up at the dollar store. Give it to Ross and Marissa.
Yeah, it's like, I brought this for you. And they're like, ugh. And it's funny because Ross and Marissa will be like, I heard you have a gift for me. And the house guest will be like, Oh yeah. This thing that I was just given 5 seconds ago.
This is our off the block expert, even though she doesn't know the name of the show.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the reason why I don't know the name of the show is because they stole the name from Spencer McRae's podcast.
To be fair, prepositions are hard. Also, shout out to Marissa Jarrett Minocher in the front row.
Yeah,
this
I saw her.
Ross Matthews. Could there be a co-host in the offing tomorrow?
I guess it was maybe a member of like the full second grade class that she had sitting in the front row with her. So I don't know if you want Marissa and a 9-year-old co-hosting on off around the block.
Maybe it was
tomorrow.
Zeb's friends.
That's true. Maybe they were all they finished up on the warped wall and they came in to watch another American Ninja Warrior failed contestant make his way out of the Big Brother house.
Speaking of Marissa, my brother just got cast in a show that she's directing.
All right.
But anyway, connections.
Yes. Okay. So you could someday be connected to Marissa Jarrett Winoker.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, you watch Off the Block.
Separation. Yeah. That's exactly why I watch it.
What gift will he offer her when he comes to rehearsals with
that's
her?
The point. I'm going to need to tell him to bring a gift because apparently anytime you talk to her, you need to present her with something.
Mm-hmm. The time that I met her when I allegedly did interviews for CBS, that all she wanted was for somebody to crack her back. She wanted me to like pick her up and like backwards and like bend over to like make her back crack.
This is very, very weird.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, I think I'll get in a lot of trouble if you get hurt. And I said, I'm not going to.
You're like, I will not crack your back. But thank you.
She's like, oh my God, my husband, he knows exactly what to do. He does it so good.
My God.
I was gonna ask, how many words did she use to express the fact that you need to crack her back, Rob?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up. Okay. Are You the One? Season 7, week number 3 on our MTV reality wrap up. We love the MTV reality around here. PK, South Africa deep dive. Wow. With PK, did you have PK play the banana game on the podcast, Mike?
No, unfortunately, it was not rated R for redemption. So, you know, we couldn't play the swing the banana, even though they much like the balls were swinging around. So was the banana swinging around PK's waist, which sounds very odd if you've never watched Survivor South Africa.
Yeah.
In which case, you definitely should slide into my DMs if you want to find out about it, because it's a pretty freaking fantastic season of Survivor. Okay.
Speaking of Survivor South Africa, David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis got together for a Y blank one for Survivor South Africa. Wow. I didn't even know.
This is news to me. I didn't even. I'm a Scotty right now. I didn't even know that these two were in love with Survivor South Africa.
All right, now, Scott, hold on a second. Last week on the show, you said, no, go to Scotty. You said that it's just luck of the draw with these updates, but Scotty couldn't have even been in the rotation with this one.
That's correct. I usually have random, but in this case, it was not random.
Okay. Yes. So find out tomorrow morning. We're going to have a new HOH by the time everybody wakes up. It's going to be late night here on the East, or it'll be late night on the West Coast, really late night on the East Coast. I know some of you lunatics will stay up and watch it, but
I'll be awake.
Yeah. You can go ahead, catch the morning update. Taryn and Puya will break it all down at 10 a.m. Eastern. They're staying up late, so you don't have to. 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. And then on Sunday night, we'll have another show, and we'll talk about the new HOH, the nominations, and what is going to go on our first Big Brother recap of September, the home stretch of Big Brother 20, all here on Rob Has a Podcast. And of course, become a part of the Rob Has a Podcast patron community. So much going on, all of the bonus content that we're doing. If you're not a patron, I think you have no idea how many extra shows a month I'm doing for these patrons. I think you'd be surprised. Go ahead and find out more information at robhasawebsite.com /patron for all the benefits of becoming one of our wonderful patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. And what a fun show. I feel like that we did this. We had this lineup in Big Brother Canada with Mike and Melissa. And that was a fun show, too.
Yeah, I agree.
M&Ms were melting in your feed, aww, not in your hands.
That's like one of the gross things.
All right, well, looks like
the
lineup's done.
Yes.
This will be the last podcast with Mike and Melissa with the M&M.
Yes, canceled. Okay, Mike, I know that you always have a million things going on. What do you have coming up besides your interview with Fessy?
Yes, so I'll have an interview with Fessy coming up probably tomorrow, as well as all the other jurors and finalists coming up for the rest of the season with Parade. I'll be doing the Big Brother B&B. For those of you that don't really know what that is, if you would call like the Summer of Stein, like the drunk uncle of the Big Brother recaps, the B&B is sort of like...
Who calls it that? Paulie Calafiore?
Yeah, Paulie Calafiore is, he's laughing to the bank with those $35. But... I'd say that, you know, if that's the drunk uncle, the B&B is like the drunk uncle's friend that you see like every third time. You see the uncle, he's usually passed out on the couch and he'll like occasionally get up and do something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So Leon and Boris and I do a lot of crazy games and segments. You can check out the two ones we've done in the past. We've done Mad Libs with the big Bailey Tyler fight. We've read through the wild, wild world of Big Brother fan fiction. There's a lot to happen.
We'll probably didn't you do three B&Bs, Mike?
That's true. We got a lot of B&Bs in. More competitions. That's true. More competitions than Casey won. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Fessy is happy about that. So we'll probably have one coming up in a week or so, and then one to close out the season. And then once the Survivor season rolls around, we'll have, you know, I'll be doing exit interviews for that. We'll be doing Survivor B&B stuff. I mentioned Survivor South Africa before. If you're caught up on the season, we're doing, as Rob alluded to, a bunch of different deep dives. We've already spoken to a couple of contestants. We have about three or four more lined up. So if you're into the international Survivor, be sure to check that out as well as we segue into the Autumn of Steve.
Oh my God. Scott St. Pierre just fell over. That three or four more deep dives coming from Survivor South Africa.
Scott, stay on the railing. There's no mat below you.
Of course, follow Melissa on Twitter. She is It's Melissa. Melissa, how are you doing on the Twitter followers? Are people? I know you said that Vegas the Spoiler has ignored you, but what about the rest of the audience?
People like me, but you know, Brent just got 10,000 followers.
Brent just got 10,000 followers.
I'm not quite there yet. I'm about 6,000.
Okay, oh, look.
But you know what? That's way more than before I started podcasting when I only had 76.
Come on, bots, yes. Come through. I think what you need to do, Melissa, is you need to, much like Scotty did, like send out tweets sort of, you know, talking about each house guest, see how many likes they get. And then like, depending on how good they do some, you know, market research, delete the ones that are not polling well, and then just go in hard on the ones that are.
Yeah. Then you'll know. Of course, Summer Stein is coming up. I'll be talking with Eric in the morning about everything going on with the battle back. So if you've got questions for us, bigbrother@robiswebsite.com or robiswebsite.com/voicemail, or you can use the hashtag Summer of Stein to send us your questions. A lot to talk about with Eric, even though we only did a podcast 3 days ago. We were texting today. We said we might need to go daily. That there's so much going on. We might need to go 5 days a week on Summer of Stein starting soon. So be on the lookout for that. And also I wanted to say that I am very excited. We passed a big milestone. I know Brent went over 10,000 Twitter followers after getting unshadow banned, but the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube channel passed 50,000 subscribers this week.
Wow.
Which was something that I never thought would be a possibility for this channel. So thank you guys so much for everybody that has subscribed for the Rob Has a Podcast channel on YouTube. Was I think 8 years in the making to get to this point, and 50,000 subscribers on YouTube. So thank you guys so much. The Big Brother season, you know, we always have a lot of support on YouTube. So thank you guys so much for that. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. If you haven't checked out our podcast from last night, also Summer Steve was great on the podcast on Wednesday night. So check that out as well. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.